The views expressed on the following show may not be those of the hosts, guests, or WSPN Skidmore Radio. Talk Saratoga is produced by Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated and may not be reproduced in part or in whole unless expressed written approval is given. Now, here are the hosts of Talk Saratoga, Rick Thompson and a Saratoga All-Star.
Good morning and welcome to Talk Saratoga. I'm your co-host, Rick Thompson, and along with my other co-host, Pat Kane, I want to welcome you this morning. We have a lot of information to talk about. A lot of things are going on in the races for offices in Saratoga. But I wonder if everybody knows that City Hall is up for sale. Yes, City Hall is up for sale.
Really?
Yes. Tax-free. No, not the building. Our city officers in the council.
Oh, really?
Yes. We're going to get to that, and we hope to get to all five.
I thought they were going to sell the building instead after,
No, it's tax-free property.
A year and a half now, so.
I know. We still don't know how much it's going to cost. Upwards of $10 million, I know that.
I think it's going to be north of that, too.
But, yeah, there's a lot to go on that people don't know about. It's all public information. We've got a lot of donation sheets on the candidates. I think some of them are going to surprise you. Again, you can go to the New York State Board of Elections and get all this information. So, Pat, who do you want to start with? What race do you want to start with this morning?
I think maybe Meg Kelly's probably the best race to talk about right off the top.
Okay. Well, Meg Kelly is the incumbent. She is a Democrat. I think she's running on the independence line. And the Democratic line, she is a Democrat, a reformed Republican, but turned Democrat. And is talking about possibly going back to the Republican Party, but I don't know if that's going to happen. And she's running against Tim Holmes, who we had on the show last week, Pat. He's a very impressive man.
Yeah, absolutely. His credentials, I think, are flawless.
Unbelievable. Yeah. What he's done and what he's into, and it's amazing. I was very, first time I met the gentleman, but I was very impressed with him. You know, I think he could make an excellent mayor and improve upon Meg's 2-year performance. You know what I like to do first is get into some of the money that candidates have raised.
Shocking. I'm looking at your documents here, Rick, and it's just amazing that, as you said, City Hall's up for sale. I've never seen it quite as bad as we've seen it now.
No.
And it's people crossing over party lines and donating money. There's definitely a theme to the donations. It's clear to me that City Hall is up for sale and has been up for sale for quite some time because people are spending money to get their projects done. I'm looking at your roster of people who are giving money to, and it's the people who need approvals through City Hall that are spending big money. Thousands and thousands of dollars are coming from developers, attorneys, you name it. And it's to buy influence in City Hall.
Well, you know, when you look at the three candidates, and I'm not saying, you know, they're bad except for one, but when you look at the run of Robin Dalton, Meg Kelly, Skip Scirocco, and Michelle Madigan, they're all in, everyone except Robin Dalton is an incumbent, and they've raised $30,000 and above, while the other two can't, John Frank is not running.
Well, he's running, but he's just unopposed.
Right, he's unopposed. I shouldn't say that. Yeah, he's unopposed. And honestly, I think John is one of the most thoughtful candidate as far as raising money. Nobody can influence John.
Yeah.
I don't care who you are. You can't influence him. But the developers, the CEO of the hospital, who we'll get into later, the attorney for the hospital, have all donated mega dollars. City Hall employees, the city attorney's wife have donated money to these three campaigns.
I mean, you're still at a point now in the election calendar where they're still going to be raising money, still spending money. and you look at this, in fact, it's amazing. It's just absolutely amazing.
Yeah, we got a phone caller, so we'll take that right now. Good morning, caller.
Hey, Rick, it's Nancy. I just wanted to let you guys know Pat's microphone's not working. I definitely want to hear the show, so I just wanted to make you aware of it.
Can you hear me now?
Can you hear him now? All right, Nancy, thank you very much. I think you should be able to hear him now. I'm going to go out and test it. But I think you could. Let's see, Pat.
Yeah, no, it. I was saying there before Nancy's call, and it's just I don't see how the Board of Elections can't look at some of these candidates and say this is okay. You look at especially in the Scirocco campaign, I think Matt Jones, I know at least he's gotten 1,500 in so far. And my understanding, and I'm not an election attorney, but I will say my understanding is that individuals can only give up to $1,000. And Matt's, in fact, I think the arrogance of the reporting is there's one line item that says Matt Jones, $1,000. The very next line item is Matt Jones, $500.
Right.
Now, I'm sure there's some loophole that they're probably trying to take advantage of, but the fact is that's a campaign violation.
Yes,
I think so. But who's looking at this stuff? But as I said, I've been involved with the political side here for quite a long time here in Saratoga Springs, and I will tell you this is as bad as I've ever seen it. Where special interest, it's as plain as the nose on your face.
Well, that happened at the school board election this year. Mega dollars that was never spent before, and upwards of $50,000 was raised. They brought outside people in to polling. It's unreal.
Well, I will say, look at the signs, and they're just, a couple of years ago, the parties apparently agreed that they wouldn't put signs out on, vacant land, things like that.
Yeah.
And well, I'll tell you, this group of candidates that we're going to talk about today, they've jammed signs in everywhere. There's no adherence to any of these agreements, and frankly, I really don't care one way or the other. But it's ironic that these people that have raised a fair amount of money are just keep on worrying about getting their name in front of everybody and they're jamming signs. I mean, I went up by the dump the other day and Michelle Madigan's got signs on city property on the dump.
Well, she had, I'd say, probably 30 signs along Route 50 down by the golf course. And that's state property, so someone called and complained, and an hour later they were there picking them all up because they're not supposed to be there.
Right.
And they're trying to get away with things that they didn't used to before. I mean, signs were all over the place throughout the city, but not like this. Some of them you can't even read who it is because they're so close together. They look like gardens, tomato plants in a garden.
The ironic part about all of this is if you look at the campaign finances of Mark Baker when he was running against Meg Kelly in 2017, and look at the people who have donated to Meg Kelly now in 2019, they've absolutely crossed not only party lines, but you went from a Republican a candidate to a Democratic candidate. And I was involved in her campaign. I think she raised $28,000, and $10,000 of it was her own money.
Right.
So now she's well over $30,000. And quite frankly, that's just the tip of the iceberg. There's a lot more money out there that people are spending for last-minute mailers and so forth. And so this is I'm going to use the C word, corruption.
Yeah.
This is absolute corruption here where we're now spending – the people who have a fair amount of money are spending money in these races before they never used to get involved. You see the Charles Waits of the world, the Carbone
Ruins,
of – I mean, Ruins always been involved. But
well, he has, but it's – they're – donating heavily to Democratic candidates.
Oh, that's my point. Is that you're just seeing that because the Republican Party has been just a lost ship for a number of years.
Yeah.
And that ship has gone. It's now starting to go into directions, and they're channeling all their energies through independence parties so that they can cross endorse everybody. But it really is. It's staggering. I mean, I think if you look at the side of Moran, Holmes.
Morrison.
Hicks and Morrison, you look at their finances and realize, they've got money too, but it's not coming from large developers. It's not coming from trade unions.
But we're talking about Moran, Morrison, Hicks, and Tim Holmes, we're talking maybe, Holmes and Hicks are out of the fundraising. Hicks doesn't have that much. I mean, if he broke over 1,000, Tim Holmes has donated his own money.
And that's
in
the
kind.
Way.
That is it. He promised he wouldn't take corporate money, and he wouldn't take individuals' money because he wants to run a campaign based on his knowledge and experience.
Yeah.
But there's a thread that runs through these other campaigns of the incumbents and the new person running for public safety. Who is a good girl? We had her on the show, and she's a good girl. And I want to make a statement
here. I
think
we should call them
women. Women. Well, girls. You know what? I think it's flattering to be called a girl, and I would, if somebody called me that young man Rick or that, but I'd be flattered.
Well,
and
yeah.
I don't
well,
mean
I think
it in
you
a
use
negative
words
because
you're old.
Right. Well, yeah, I remember when, you know, whatever. But I think you're going to see a thread through here that people don't really think about, and because they don't care, they vote for who the favorite is, who
right.
their personality, who their favorite is. The thread comes from three places. The thread is from developers, and we'll get into that. It's going to open your eyes. The thread is from PACs and unions, and by unions I mean the big unions, the plumbers, the builders associations, all of the ones from Albany, big money. They're donating heavily to Madigan, to Scirocco, and to Meg Kelly. And it's very hard for the candidates that are running that haven't been in office, save for one, as I said, to make up that money when you're raising as the normal amount would be in a campaign, $13,000 to maybe $18,000, and you're running against somebody who at this point has got $40,000 because of these big unions and builders. Charlie Waite, who owns Adirondack Trust, that's where the city puts their money into.
Yeah.
Tom Ruin is one of the bigger real estate agents, and you'll see all his signs all over the place. So he needs the backing of City Hall to push his properties and commercial. You've got Tom Newkirk, who owns Saratoga
National
Golf Course.
And he's also doing a big project down on Broadway.
Right, donating to them. And he got approval for a 59-unit apartment building, 5 stories high, on a 3/4 acre of land. And I don't know where anybody's going to go, where they're going to park.
We have plenty of parking downtown. I mean, we can absorb that 100, 150 cars into downtown, no problem, right?
Yeah.
Wrong.
No, wrong.
Wrong.
And I mean, when you look at things like this, it should raise antennas and so that you become aware of this.
Yeah.
And I think we've got debates Monday night, the League of Women Voters at the Saratoga High School auditorium, and Tuesday night they're splitting up the candidates. I think Public Works and Mayor on Tuesday, and the rest of them on Monday night. So it'd be worth going to there. But I want to just go over
but
some.
You said something that really is shocking, and that is it's beyond beyond the party, so to speak. I mean, everybody kind of stayed in their lanes up until this point. Now everybody's all. So I guess the question is, what about ideology? I mean, clearly over the years, you know, the Democrats stood for one thing and the Republicans stood for another. And now, of course, the Democrats have taken over the city, and you've now splintered all that. I think when Madigan lost the primary to Morrison, she's now, I want to do this for the benefit of the city. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's baloney, and we know that. You know, she just doesn't want to leave office. And, the Democratic voice just isn't heard. But you see in people who donating to candidates who will, for example, support guns in the schools when they were opposed to that in May. So the ideology means nothing right now. It's all about how can I position myself to have influence in City Hall.
Right.
And it's flagrant. It's not just like the old days where, you know, people would donate a small amount of money. There's large amount of money donated by, as you pointed out, you know, a select few. And those select few all have business with the city. And so, you know, I'd encourage people to go on the Board of Elections and look at campaign finance. And you can there's a thing in there, and you have to. It's pretty easy to use, but I mean, you probably got all the statistics here that we can talk about. But it is just about the most disgusting thing I've seen in politics in 25 years.
Well, I just want to read some donations here.
And you know, the same people donating to everybody, the same three.
To Madigan.
And I was involved in a lot of campaigns over the years and always out looking to raise money. And it's hard to raise money for this. But, you know, people who very rarely gave anything, or if it was anything, it was a small amount of money.
Right.
You know, it's $1,000
a year. Let me give some of these out because okay. I want people to remember this, you know, when you hear this stuff, and through the candidates, just remember the names, all right? And you'll see what happens. Meg Kelly's first donation, Angelo Calbone, who is the CEO of Saratoga Hospital.
Oh, thank you.
Then we go to Daniel Garrity, $1,000.
Where's he live?
He lives in Boston, Massachusetts,
yeah,
right? $1,000.
Yeah.
Then we go to Richard Higgins on Union Ave.
Yeah, he's a frequent. He donates. You know,
okay,
to he's
the
going
cost.
To Republicans, Democrats too. But yeah.
Okay, $500.
Yeah.
Then I want to just Tom Newkirk, who got approval for that 59-unit building and 3/4 acres downtown, $750. Now this is all to Meg Kelly.
I wonder how many of these people live in Geyser Crest.
I have no clue. They probably all do. But
yeah,
then
right.
We have Saratoga Spring Water Company for $1,000, and I think if I'm not mistaken, that's where the bike trail. They
yeah.
took property from them. Martinez Architecture, Bonaccio Construction, B&B Plumbing, Saratoga Pelican Associates, Northeast Government Consulting, $250, Julian Company Realty, and that's hooked in with Bonaccio, $250, Saratoga Workers, $500, Dawshi River Triangle, $250. You've got Goldberg and Kremer from Albany, an attorney's firm, $150. Sheet Metal Workers Union. You have, let me see, I'll go to the next page. You've got B&B Plumbing, another $500. Finney Design Group, $500. B&B Plumbing, another, that's the third one, $150. Bella Home Builders, $500. Teakwood Builders.
Where's the government in this thing? Where are the people in this thing?
I have no idea.
It's all people
yeah.
who have to rely on a permit process at
right.
City Hall. And don't get me wrong. I mean, this is, you know, kind of been happening for quite some time.
Yeah.
But, you know, they never donated to the Democrats.
No.
They always donated to the Republicans. So the Republican always had a lot big, you know, big war chest. And the Democrat was coming in with, you know, decent money, but was winning because they were appealing to the people. So
just rounding out.
Yeah.
Well, that's because now they're getting votes. They're getting their votes. They want to keep these incumbents in because of that. You got $500 from Witt Construction, another donation from Bonaccio Construction, Kodiak Construction, $500. Frank Perillo, who owns quite a bit of property that
it's a couple of hotels in town.
Right,
so
hotels needed approvals.
Yep.
Frank Perillo, $1,000. You've got John Hendrickson, of course, and he's free to make it, but he's a big Republican, donating to a Democrat, $1,000. And
they were backing Mark Baker last time.
Right, they backed Mark Baker, he
yeah.
and his
late wife,
Mary Lou Whitney. You got another donation from Angelo Calbone, who is the CEO of Saratoga Hospital. Let's see. You got Angelo Calbone, another donation from Saratoga Hospital. You got a donation from Matt Jones, who's the attorney for Saratoga Hospital. And Robin Dalton, who's a Republican candidate, is donating to Meg Kelly's campaign fund instead of the Republican candidate for mayor. Tim Holmes, who the Republican Party wouldn't even back because they need that vote that's on the council now, and Tim doesn't play games.
That's right.
He is for the citizens of Saratoga.
Well, and you can see, I know, as I said, I had some involvement with Meg Kelly's campaign in 2017, and those people that you just mentioned all donated to Mark Baker. lot smaller numbers, and it just goes to show you just how much these offices have influence in the operations of City Hall.
And this is just in the mayor's race.
Oh yeah, I mean, and there she, and I think she has the least amount of money raised.
Yeah, she had $33,877.
Yeah.
But one of the things, now we're talking about finance, is that her opponent, Tim Holmes, I couldn't get a financial statement on him on the state site because the only donations that he's taken are from himself. He's made loans to his campaign in the amount of, I'm going to say $5,000 to $6,000.
Yeah.
And that's it. He's not using corporate or personal donations. He's using his own money.
Do you remember when Mike Lenz was running for mayor?
Against Valerie Keane.
Val Keane. Yeah. And nobody, you know, who the heck is Val Keane? What's going on there? No one knew her. And, you know, here you had a wonderful guy born and raised here at a business on Broadway. It's plenty of money. You know, he had fundraisers up at the Riggies, and it was $500 a plate.
Yeah.
And so the thing you have to remember is it's really the spirit of the candidate here, right? And you look at it and you say, local politics is up for sale. And it has been up for sale for quite some time. But the election results don't always follow those same lines. When you look at Mike Lenz getting defeated by Val Keane, who was a relatively unknown person, and her fundraisers were $5 a plate for pasta. I think the voters of Saratoga are smarter than these candidates that are reaping in the money, or raking in the money, I should say, give them credit for. I mean, there's just a lot of people that are going to go out and vote because of the issues. But, you know, the roadsides don't vote.
Right.
But you've got you. This is, as I said, this is the worst I've ever seen it. Where influence is the word of the day. The influence, whether it's this bogus independence party, it's just crazy.
Well, you know what I always thought about road signs, Pat. In all honesty, and I've talked to people that feel the same way. People, first of all, are upset because they're all over the place, and number two, nobody pays attention to them. I mean, because there's so many of them, you can't focus on one or two when you're driving by. But, you know, so that's it. I want to get into Michelle Madigan because this is a big one.
Yep. Well, you know, before we get into that, I don't want to – I think that could take quite some time. Could we spend a few minutes on the Scirocco versus Moran?
Oh, definitely.
I just would like to just touch base on that one because – again, it goes back to the same characters that are donating to Meg Kelly are donating to Skip Scirocco that are donating to Madigan. Which is you did, and it's just amazing to see the same people, the Higgins, the Bonaccio, the Ruin, the Wade. I mean, the same players are doing this. And, you know, 2 years ago, they were nowhere near the Democratic Party. And now they've done something totally separate.
That's right. And that was money from Pink Floyd. So I just put it in. I couldn't get to the point where...
The
cash registers. But anyway, yeah. You get the point here. So now we're going to go to Scirocco and Dylan Moran. And there's a stark difference in that also. And... Dylan Moran is the newcomer. He's running against a longtime incumbent, Skip Scirocco, who, quite frankly, hasn't been doing the job the last 8 years.
Yeah.
He really hasn't. I mean, the city has looked terrible. I mean, he never gets to anything except for 6 months before the election, and he's a native and knows people. He was the dog catcher for 34 years and a county supervisor, and then was voted out of that. And Dylan is a fresh face. He is well qualified, and he's a native Saratoga boy and or man, I should say, to make Pat happy. And so I want to get on to that race, Pat.
Okay. Well, it's been clear, as you pointed out, Skip's been been elected many times without opposition. I think this opposition that he has right now, I wasn't here when you did his interview, or maybe has he already been interviewed yet, Dylan Moran?
No, he's coming on next Saturday. We have Penny Morrison, and then the Saturday after that, which is the last one before the election, is Dylan.
Well, and I, you know, I've known Dylan and Skip for quite some time, and the differences cannot be more stark. It's unbelievable that you're looking at, you know, a guy that's, as you said, he's been around, he's a dog catcher for a long time, and then here you've got this young man who, I wouldn't say that he's absolutely like 20s, but he's in his, I think, maybe early 40s, whose entire career has been spent. He's an engineer and has been spent, you know, in the water side of the industry. And so he's so qualified. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then Skip, who is like a bump on the log, is, you know, mumbling along here. And, you know, you look at projects and you're saying, this is, I mean, we could be on Skip for an hour, because the fact that he too is in the pocket of developers. He's in the pocket of, you know, you see him going against planning board rulings over, you know, outside the track. I mean, planning board says one thing, Skip Scirocco says another.
Well, I want to run that string again on money.
Yeah.
All right. And you out there listening, I want you to remember the names. So, you know, listen to this. Good morning, caller.
Hey, it's Nancy again. Yeah, I mean, Pat cannot be... I mean, he's not exaggerating when you said that the differences between Skip Scirocco and Dylan Moran could not be any more different. They are completely different. But I just want to point out that I think anybody who runs for office, regardless of what agency they're trying to get elected to, is that everybody, all elected officials, should return people's calls, regardless of who they are, regardless of who they like. With Skip Scirocco, he never calls back. You can't get a hold of him. Nobody knows where he is. I'm not saying Skip's a bad guy, but when you talk about transparency and accountability and you can't get a hold of, when you're trying to call your elected official and they don't call you back, I think that automatically disqualifies someone from elected office. If you feel that you're so entitled that you don't have to call people back and you don't have to do interviews or you don't have to do this and that, to me, I just think that speaks volumes about the candidate. I don't think you're going to have that problem with Dylan Moran. I think he's the kind of guy, even if he doesn't like you, even if he doesn't agree with you, I think he's going to call you back.
Yeah.
And I think that's very important in any election, regardless of what position you're going for.
Exactly, Nancy. And I appreciate your comment there, because you're 100% right.
And, well, thanks for having me on, Rick.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
All right, Nancy.
Thanks, Pat.
Take care.
You know, I think one of the points that Nancy made is a reflection of our form of government. You get elected, you don't have to call people back.
Of course.
You're the good old boy.
Yeah.
You don't have to call people back. And you can't go to anybody else, because they have their own kingdom, their own fiefdom.
Yeah.
And you know what? I agree with Nancy. Nobody, and I repeat, nobody is a bad person. What they do to get elected may be a little shady, but you got to give these people credit for running for office. I mean, you know, I always say, if you take the time to run for office, you know, God bless you. And they're not bad people. But I want to just run some figures to you. And as I said, it's the thread. You're going to hear these names again. B&B Plumbing, Bogashian Brothers, a contracting firm, W.J. Morris Excavating, M&J Construction, UA Plumbers and Pipe Fitters, $1,000, and they're out of Glens Falls. And then you have... Frank Perillo again, who's owns quite a few hotels in that. You've got Matt Jones, as Pat alluded to. He has donated twice so far, close to $1,600. Angelo Calbone, who's the CEO of Saratoga Hospital.
And what's the significance? Now, the vote, of course, is going to take place after
the election
to rezone that area,
right,
where Collins, which you've got donations quite a bit from Collins as well.
Who sold the property.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a conditional sale. Yeah,
One of the things about this vote is that even if these people lose, let's say Madigan, Kelly, and Scirocco lose, and the new people coming in are against this, this group can still vote until the end of December. So they can vote for the hospital expansion and get this money paid back. And then you've got Steve Ethier that donated $1,000 to Skip.
Probably one of the interesting donations was Skip Colucci.
Yeah,
and Skip Colucci. Do you know who Skip Colucci is?
Yeah, he wanted to run against Scirocco, didn't he?
Oh, I don't know, but he was the Mark Scirocco chauffeur for a year after Mark was arrested for DWI violations.
Okay,
and Skip Colucci, who works for Skip Scirocco, spent a year driving around Skip Scirocco's son every day, which I'm sure was charming. It's kind of apropos that here's a guy that, I don't know if you know him, but I do, and he's a nice, nice man. But you sit down and you look at this and go, isn't that so ironic that here's a guy that spent a year keeping Skip's son on the job, which he shouldn't have been doing, but nonetheless he did, and he's donating to the campaign.
Well,
he's done more than just a donation. He really has saved Skip's son's tail.
Yeah, and one of the things that find that wasn't kosher was that Skip kept that problem as an oversight. He oversaw his son that he probably wouldn't have done with any other city employee under his department, when that should have gone to the HR department. Skip should have stayed right out of that. It was his son. There was a clear conflict of interest, and he should have sent it over to HR. Now, the other thing is that I just want to, when we put this thread through, Angelo Carbone, as I said, is the CEO of Saratoga Hospital, and Matt Jones, who I think is a really nice guy. I enjoy Matt. He's a friend. But he is the attorney for Saratoga Hospital's
and the city center
and the city center,
the Horseshoe Tavern.
Developers.
I mean, he's in the middle, and I like Matt too, but I don't like his politics.
No,
he's throwing his money around flagrantly in my mind because he's clearly violating election law by donating more than the personal $1,000 that
right.
but nobody really pays attention to. I hope you remember this when you go to the election booth on November 5th. That we've seen a lot of who would have thought that Mark Baker was going to lose last time?
His opponent was a retired police officer.
No, no, Mark Baker ran against Meg Kelly.
Oh, Meg Kelly. Yeah. I'm sorry.
So
I'm
here's
sorry.
Mark Peter Baker, Martin the shoe in. Yeah. Everybody thought he was a shoe in. He gets beat by a relative unknown,
yeah.
Who hadn't raised a whole lot of money. Yeah. But had support from grassroots.
Right.
And the same thing. Who would have expected Peter Martin to beat Donnie Brame? He was a former police officer running against for public safety.
Yeah.
Everybody said, oh, he's a local guy. He's got, 20 years experience. Again, a defeat. And you sit there and you realize the threat are the people who are sick and tired of the same old, same old.
Yeah.
You look at the charter vote. Every elected official that was endorsing charter was elected in 2017.
Yeah.
And you and I are, we're obviously outspoken about charter change. But the point I'm trying to make is people are not dumb.
No.
People are going to, we're going to, the people who are rubbing elbows at the hospital or, they're trying to buy and sell our politicians. I mean, Meg Kelly went to a fundraiser for herself up on the Morgan Street area. And what did she do? Thank you. I'm going to defend you. Gets in office. What does she do?
Yeah.
Sells them out.
Right.
Why? Because they feel good when important people in town pay attention to them. I think that's Michelle Madigan's biggest challenge is that she can't help herself. She loves to be in the limelight.
Right.
And I think, and Skip, it just, I haven't figured out why people haven't looked around and realized that he really hasn't been doing a very good job.
No.
Just the violations of having the head of the Independence Party now work in the water department, political patronage. He took his campaign manager, made him an officer in the DPW.
Right.
I mean, the guy's so sold. It's unbelievable.
And when Eddie Miller and his girlfriend started a energy business,
right.
The city gave him the contract and paid him a $30,000 bonus, the company bonus.
Yeah.
And he works for one of the commissioners.
Yeah.
And they took it to the ethics board, and the ethics board said, no, there's nothing wrong with this. When Eddie Miller is also chairman of the Independence Party and donated money to the incumbents. Yeah. And it's like, holy mackerel. If you're listening, tell your friends this if they don't listen to the show, because they have to know this stuff. I mean, we're going to get into one now. I want to get into the Madigan-Morrison race, if you don't mind, Pat, because we have a few things. And I'm going to read one of the things, but I want you to listen to Michelle Madigan, our Commissioner of Finance, talking to a person who attended a council meeting. So I want you to listen to this. Hang on for 1 second.
Departments does. And you may not speak back. You may not speak
back. Wait a minute.
Back, or I will have you removed.
Okay.
Tough. That's right.
That's okay.
Could you please have this man
okay.
removed now, please?
No. Just, Commissioner.
I've
had
him removed.
All right, all right.
Have him
Mark, that's all right.
You may leave now.
You are not going to bully me.
I will use your name anytime I feel. You will not come up here and speak to this council and tell us. I would
please,
like him removed.
Please try to refrain from using people's names and just continue your comments, Commissioner.
Budget as a result of this. There may be a tax increase as a result of this.
Why?
That does not mean I have not planned for it, Commissioner Frank.
Plan for you have it.
No, I mean, no, it doesn't work that way. And frankly, I wish you would just be quiet. I really wish
no,
you would
no,
be
everybody
quiet.
Everybody has a chance
you
to
know,
speak.
You know, I, no, on this one, I'm just so tired of it. I went through this last year
I
with
think
you
we're,
over budget.
We're not
you
a productive
don't understand
group
budgets,
anymore,
okay?
So I'm going to adjourn the meeting.
You will be quiet because I am still now on my agenda.
I'm going to adjourn the meeting.
Okay, that was our Commissioner Michelle Madigan, Commissioner of Finance, kicking
Mark Lawton,
who is in the audience and has the right to speak.
And a former New York State Budget Director.
New York State Budget Director, trying to point out something Michelle was doing wrong so he could give her advice and help her out. And she had him kicked out of the meeting. Yeah. And the second one was she had said to Commissioner Frank, who's a CPA, that he doesn't know anything about budgets and there may be a slight tax increase, and she knows better and no one understands that better than her. She told the mayor to be quiet, that it was her public hearing when the mayor was trying to restore order there. This is how our representative treats citizens and treats.
What's the name of that website that has all her?
It's Saratoga Fights Back.
Saratogians Fight Back?
Yeah, Saratogians Fight Back. Okay. And you can go there and listen to this, and it's
and
amazing.
It. Yeah, I watched them.
Well, you can watch them, too. So.
And you know, where they say actions speak louder than words. Not only are her actions completely selfish, and I believe some... I think Michelle Madigan should go out and get some counseling because her way of dealing with anger is just terrible.
Yeah.
Not only is she misbehaving in the public eye, but she's also misbehaving behind closed doors.
Yeah, and I want to give an example of that, Pat, if I could. Michelle Madigan on October the 11th wrote to a gentleman by the name of Mr. Solomon, who
right.
is...
He owns Ciro's.
Owns Ciro's and the Pig and Whistle downtown.
Yeah.
Now, the first email, and I want to read something after that, because to set the stage, Mr. Solomon hosted a fundraising event last Sunday for Michelle Madigan's opponent. So she sent him an email. Just to be clear, do not ever email me again for any assistance, ever. I've let the entire council know how you do business. You can get in line like everyone else. I'm sorry I considered you a friend. I hear you have a lot of code violations, by the way. Enjoy.
Gee, I wonder if Matt Jones stands in that line.
I know.
I'm sure he doesn't have to stand in that line. Here's somebody who doesn't do everything Michelle Madigan wants done.
Right.
And then she comes, you know, how do you threaten people? Like, that's a threat.
Going up to the microphone. They already got their stuff, the contractors, developers, and that. Now, here's another email that Madigan wrote. This is a person who has called me on a number of times. This is to Solomon now. Shall I post all the emails over the last few months in which the owner of Cyril's and Pig and Whistle asked me directly for help so he could open both businesses? Obviously pretending to be my friend and even asked me to come for a drink to thank me. I guess I shall need to do so. Then he hosts, not just allowed, the use of his facility that I bent over backward to help him open on time for the summer season, Cyril's, an event at his new facility for my opponent, and I reach out to ask why and get no response. So yes, I have now asked him not to contact me again because we are clearly not friends. Enjoy, everyone. I stand by my words. He's a snake.
How does an elected official behave like this? This isn't the first time. This is such a repeat performance, time after time after time, where she just doesn't like what you say, or she has some statement that she is in her own mind thinks is accurate. I mean, here's a guy who's trying to open up a business. Isn't that what contacting city government's all about?
That's what they're elected to do. I would think so.
But when she talks about going to stand in line, the people that are standing in line are just the average Joes out there. Matt Jones doesn't stand in line. Charles Wade doesn't stand in line. Tom Newkirk doesn't stand in line. They buy their way to the front of the line. And there's probably no line behind them because it's a totally separate process.
You're right.
And you just look at this and you're saying, wake up, Saratoga. It's amazing how these people, and you used to see it before, and it was somewhat dignified. Mm-hmm. Now it's just flat out right in your face. You know, we're going to do business with the Bonaccios. We're going to do business with the Joneses, the Ruins, and so forth. But I will say, look back in election history, and a lot of people that have gotten into office have done it without these people's support. So vote with your heart and your head, not, you know, looking at people's names who have donated, because quite honestly, these people have been kind of buying influence for all these years. It's just gotten worse. And it's because Michelle Madigan got defeated as a Democrat, and now she was like, oh, I want to do this for the entire city. Baloney. She can't do it because she doesn't have the Democratic line. And so she's trying to do what, you know, what they're all doing right now is they're going to band together, raise big money, and just flood the postal boxes and the highways with literature or signs from them. Right. And you look at their policies and just say, this is amazing.
Right. Well, one thing that happened to me, and I'm not going to go into it because it's three pages and nonstop venom. We were talking about charter change and the budget after charter change lost by 10 votes out of 9,000 cast back in 2017. And she broke in and said, Rick, you have no idea what you're talking about. You and your minions don't understand municipal budgeting at even a very simplistic level. She went on to say, Rick Thompson, well, I can whine about stupidity, rumor mongering, fear mongering, you know, the stuff you like to do and others in your tribe. Then she said to me, Rick Thompson, I understand you're a liar or a dope. You tell me which one you are.
That's an elected official.
It's an elected official talking to a citizen and
taxpayer,
and one she just like the one she kicked out of a city hall meeting when he had a right to speak.
Sure.
This woman is clearly having a meltdown because she's got a qualified opponent. And I mean qualified. And they're making all this. And I'm going to get into her donations because she's got about $44,000 that she raised.
Yeah.
And here again, the thread. But what I wanted to say is that they are putting out malicious articles about Patty Morrison, calling her incompetent. She doesn't know what she's talking about when she's run multi-million dollar budgets. And Pat, you know this for a fact. The finance office, and they're saying, oh, the previous commissioner of finance put us in. There was a letter in the Saratoga Today, a letter to the editor by Jane Wee. And she, who was on the Democratic Committee and who's one of them that left when Patty Morrison beat Madigan in the primary, she said, look at what the last finance commissioner did. He laid off police, laid off fire. Well, she didn't put in there that the governor at the time, who was the one that couldn't see that well? Patterson. He took back $3.5 million of the VLT money that we get every year from the Racino. That's a state law. In the middle of a budget year, he took $3.5 million back. What else could that? What else could Ken Ivins do, who was finance commissioner then, operate in a $3.5 million deficit and create more?
They make this thing look like, and Ken was in office for quite some time, and you know, and that one episode is what caused a situation. But the bottom line is that it's about being reelected. That's why there's no tax increases. How do you keep the same budget year after year after year and not fund it in a different way? Well, obviously the candidacy funded the candidates fund themselves through developers and people who are looking for influence in City Hall.
And a budget surplus that's brought down from $9 million to $2.5 million.
Well, it's $1.2 million.
And she's
said.
Already promised to spend that, because she gave a thousand tax decrease this year, so she could say she gave a decrease.
Yeah.
She's using the expenditures, $2.9 million for contractual increases for this year and $1.9 million for expenditures. So you add that up, and we've got a $1.9 million deficit that she says she's going to take from.
Think about this. This woman doesn't collect taxes from businessmen that are in town. She's got millions of dollars out there in taxes that she hasn't collected. She has no problems cashing your check, I imagine, your tax check.
No, but, she doesn't.
But she sits there and does this where, okay, so I'm not going to collect taxes from people that are difficult to do it. I mean, they probably, if they're not willing to collect the millions of dollars, do us all a favor, Michelle, and turn it over to the county and let them collect our taxes for us. Because then everybody will be collected. There's interim processes that should have been started 6-7 years ago, but... Oh no, it's too expensive to go after people that owe us $100,000. The fellow that I see the most of, Matt's Towing down on where the hell is that, down on Maple. He not only has the exclusive contract for the city to tow cars, but he also sells the city cars. He owes over $100,000 in back taxes. $100,000.
There you go. So you have to follow the money.
It's money. This is what's happened to Saratoga in the worst way, because everybody's asleep right now. They're not paying attention. Wake up. Pay attention to what's going on. Why is Matt Jones donating to every candidate that we just talked about?
Every incumbent, yeah.
You know, and it's because he's buying influence. And he can say whatever he wants. He's free to donate. That's a wonderful part about this country. He's free to donate. But it's still, there's an odor, let's put it that way.
Yep.
And it's not a pleasant odor when you see this.
Well, let me give you some of the people. The thread goes through again. Matt Jones has donated twice in one cycle, $750 for Matt again. Frank Perillo again, $250. We've got Charlie Waite again from Adirondack Trust, where the city keeps... it's money, $500. Tom Newkirk again, the 59 unit on Broadway. Angelo Calbone twice on this one sheet. He's the CEO of Saratoga Hospital again, who's trying to get that passed for a big expansion on
Morgan Street
that will not add any new facilities for health, only offices for doctors.
And apartments that all overlook the golf course.
Right, that'll overlook the golf course.
And they pay no taxes, by the way. So you think about all the business owners that are leasing space to the doctors that are now just going to move out and go to get free offices up at the hospital. And then all the I don't know how many, I don't know what the criteria is for the hospital, but as far as the apartments are concerned, but they're overlooking a golf course. Yeah, and there's not one medical process other than an office in this new area. It's parking, luxury apartments. They're luxury apartments.
And they have property they could build on, and they're taking over to D.A. Collins' property that he sold the hospital for $3 million and is a large contributor to all these candidates. Now, another thing is that, and I mean, you wouldn't want to live when you bought your house, had a housing development built by the person that owns the property that sold it to the hospital. He owned the property that built all these developments, and Morgan Street houses have been there for years. I mean, way, way back. You buy a house next to a railroad track, that's your problem. You buy a house next to an open field, even if they built another housing development there, that's okay. Mm-hmm. You buy these, that's fine. You get a hospital taking up, butting right up to your property with a parking lot for 400 with all the big light posts there that's going to be shining all night into your homes and apartments, and that's not your fault, it's their fault. Property values, I had Morgan Street Group on here. Their attorney told them their property values have gone down 50% once this thing goes up.
Oh, easily.
Okay, here we go. Frank Perillo again. Christy Ruin, along with her husband Tom. They threw Christy in there because Tom. You know, and that's a normal thing.
Legit.
Then we got Matt Jones again for another $250. So we're up to over $1,000. Then you got Angelo Carbone again. Courtney DeLeonardis, who's the city attorney's wife, and you also have the city attorney donating to him.
The funny part about it is DeLeonardis was head of the Democratic Party. I don't know when she made that donation, but here she is donating to a Republican, and the Democratic Party has a candidate in that race.
That's right.
And you sit back, go back to this other thing. It's like, it's about the purses, because it's not ideology. These people have thrown ideology right out the window. When they didn't back a Democrat 2 years ago, or did back a Democrat 2 years ago, now you see it. That doesn't make any difference.
Right.
There's nobody going, well, you know, we believe in, you know, guns in the schools, and that's my ideology about that. They throw it all out the window.
Well,
they just want to have influence at that table.
That's right. Now, here's a group that I'm telling you, $4,000 was collected from this group. The UA Plumber and Pipe Fitters Union from Glens Falls, $1,500. Sheet Metal Workers Local Union from Clifton Park, $250. The OUE Local 149 PAC, $500 from Glenmont. New York State Labor's Political Action Committee, $500.
You know, it's ironic is unions rarely give money to Republicans. Just because.
Well, she's a Democrat, though.
Oh, and
this is Matt again, who was a Democrat, lost the Democrat party line, and is now running as a Republican independence and family working parties,
right.
Whoever they
yeah,
are.
Yeah, I'm sorry,
have
I made
no
that
clue.
Mistake, but I was my point was these same players are donating, the unions are donating to Republicans as well. You just look at this and saying, why is this all changing? And that is, the fix is in. People are anxious to buy influence in City Hall, and it's clearly up for sale. But Rick, you mentioned something back in 2017. The elected officials at that point pretty significantly put an ad campaign out against the charter referendum, and it said it's not for sale. Saratoga Springs is not for sale. That was 2017.
Yeah.
Boy, I'll tell you, it's bought and paid for right now.
Right now, I want to put this in too. That another Waste Connections from Texas donated money to her. The Saratoga Builders Association donated $1,000. B&B Plumbing donated $500. This is the one that really gets me. Fitzgerald, Morris, Baker, Firth, and Glens Falls. And they are the attorneys group that the council hires by vote to represent them in lawsuits. And they donated almost $500. Then you got Bonaccio again.
It's a theme.
It is, but it's all builders again. And I'm telling you, it's you follow this thread, and all over the place, it just reeks, as you said, of patronage. And Saratoga wasn't this bad. I mean, back in the day when the Republican Party ruled in Saratoga, just as the city I grew up in, the glove manufacturers were Republicans, and you know, you had to be Republican to get anywhere, and that's why everybody registered Republican. But now the Democrats outnumber Republicans in Saratoga for the first time in history,
yeah,
and they're coming up in the county too, because you haven't got that old tide of big party bosses. Right. You don't have that anymore. So you're getting more registration. Now, Patty Morrison, who's running against Michelle Madigan, has raised $13,000. And there's only one, no builders, one PAC, which is the women's, where is it here? I got it somewhere. Yeah. And it's not that big of a deal.
No, but it's exactly what you're pointing out. You look at the true candidates for their political party are running a normal campaign cycle, and it's these outrageous, I've got to keep this job so I get lifetime benefits type thing. And that's one of Madigan's biggest thing. She's going to cost this city hundreds of thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars while she's not working for the city because she has a part-time job, she has benefits. I wish I would have gotten the HBO rights to this city on some kind of a miniseries. Because you look at the reign of terror of Madigan and what she does and how she behaves and who she takes money from. It's just sickening. It's sickening. And, again, I hope the people of Saratoga wake up and realize that they're supporting basically a bought and sold city council.
Who kicks people out of council meetings, who calls business owners snakes, who calls citizens idiots, lunatics, can't be trusted. She told in another email, she said that I have no character in Saratoga Springs. Yeah. And
she wrote to me years ago that if you don't support me, you're dead to me. Mm-hmm. Oh, really? I'm sorry. I think I live here too, don't I?
Yeah.
You know, but I'm dead to Michelle Madigan because I don't agree with Michelle Madigan. But I will say, having knocked on a lot of doors this fall, in this summer for another issue, people don't like Michelle Madigan.
No, they don't.
They don't like her.
They don't.
You know, and they don't trust Meg Kelly because she flips on anything. And who the hell knows what Skip Scirocco's up to? He's probably still, you know, in his office playing on his computer. But
I just want to mention another candidate for public safety. We had Robin Dalton on. She's a very nice person. I get along with Robin very well, and she's running against Mr. Hicks. He's unfortunately way behind the eight ball. He's only raised, I think, like less than $1,000, and he's doing that advertising and that on his own. Robin has gotten $33,000 in donations, and I just want to read you some of the donors. Matt Jones.
What does he do?
He's the attorney for Saratoga Hospital and others.
City Center? And
it's a city center. And Matt Jones, Angelo Carbone.
What does he do again?
He's the CEO of Saratoga Hospital.
Oh, and Red here, yeah.
Their item is coming up for a vote this year, most likely after election, to get the okay to go ahead.
All these people should recuse themselves. And they've received money.
Oh, definitely.
For their candidacy, and they're being bought and sold.
Well, John Frank, who's running unopposed, has already said he's going to recuse himself because he does business up there. So he's recusing himself. Now, these others. Now, let me read some other ones. Here's the thread. Keep it in. Keep this in your memory. Kubricki Construction Company, $1,000. Paletti Stone Corporation, $1,000. Jointa Lime Company, $1,000. D.A. Collins, $1,000. Bonaccio Construction, $1,000. And we go on to another Charlie White, Adirondack Trust, the bank where the money goes, $1,000. You got North Broadway Associates, only $100, so that's good.
But the theme is, people should wake up and realize all these people are free to I think Matt's violated some Board of Election rules by giving more than $1,000 to some of the candidates. But by the same token, and maybe I'm wrong, and I'll be happy to apologize, but I don't think I am. But the theme here is, there's no people represented in those kinds. They're businesses. And, you know, we've always, as Saratoga has been, in the last, we'll say, 15 years, has been very anti-development. There's a lot more people than just those folks that, you know, care deeply about the city and volunteer and, you know, members of different clubs, but they're not represented. You know, who's represented? The people that write the big checks.
Right.
And it's worse than I've ever seen it before.
Well, haven't the line item for open space been depleted and not funded?
Yep.
So open space, I mean, Saratoga used to be known as the city in the country. Not anymore. It can't be anymore. It's a small, big city now. And they're using up almost every piece of green. I mean, if there's a postage stamp piece of land, as we saw on Broadway, three-quarters of an acre, you can put up a five-story, 59-unit apartment and get it passed by the city council, this city council, and the property should not have been built with that many units on it. Three-quarters of an acre. How in the heck can you build a building with 59 apartments?
Meanwhile, you know, people are just trying to do their own projects around their own house, and it's a nightmare. You talk to people that try to go through the building process in Saratoga Springs as an individual. Yeah. They're as frustrated as they can be. But as you point out, the developers, yeah, let's just do this. Oh, yeah, we can just do that. Instead of, when is this? Code Blue. I mean, these guys, yeah, they found a location. Is it going to be ready
in
time?
It's not ready yet. They've got to put everything into it.
It's all about election season. I got to raise some money. I got to tell people I'm doing some things that, quite frankly, they're not doing, but they take credit for it anyways. And you just go back and you're thinking, God almighty, this is amazing. But people, I give our voters a lot of credit. They've turned out to vote and turned back these bought and sold politicians many times.
Right.
And candidates that you thought were a sure thing got defeated by somebody who was in touch with the community, in touch with people. And I think, you know, I look at Meg Kelly, as I said, I mentioned before, it was a lot of grassroots people.
Yeah.
She didn't have any of these donors, you know, 2 years ago.
No.
Why did she hasn't, you know, she hasn't been in office that long to really make any significant impact despite her campaign.
But her voting.
Yeah.
I mean, her vote at the table is what brings these donations in. And another thing that I have to say is that you made a point here that people aren't as blank anymore as they were. We Charter lost by 10 votes when previous years it lost by 1,500, 1,600. People are engaged. The Democratic primary, the largest turnout in history in the Democratic primary. Now, Madigan cries because she only lost by 35 votes. Well, if there were more people that came out to vote, she would have lost by a lot more.
Yeah.
And she lost. That's the main thing. So what did she do? She created her own group. And half of the, the whole commission, Democratic Executive Commission committee resigned and got off and went on her bandwagon. So are they Democrats anymore? I would say no.
They can't be by ideology, you know, the open space, the traditional things about the environment. I mean, Skip Scirocco, talk about environmental pollution. This guy is amazing. We'll talk about this later, I'm sure. But, I mean, here you are backing people that you couldn't stand 2 years ago, and it's all because of Michelle Madigan wanting to stay in office. She's now rallied everybody to rally around her so that she can stay in office and get benefits for the rest of her life.
Yes, that's another thing, people. If Michelle Madigan wins this election, she will be guaranteed for life health benefits, family health benefits, that will cost the taxpayers, excuse me, I get choked up every time I talk about this, $25,000 to $30,000 a year. Michelle Madigan's 55. I hope she lives a long and healthy life. I really do. Let's say she lives to be 85. You got 30 years. This year it's $25,000 to $30,000. How much does it go up every year?
Yeah.
Figure out yourself how much money that is. Use the figure $25,000 or $27,000 if it's over 30 years. You figure that out and you're guaranteeing her that money.
For a part-time job.
For a part-time job. Plus they're going to vote themselves a $16,000 raise after the election. They're doing it because they're going from $14,000 to $30,000 a year. They don't want to vote before the election. After the election, they'll vote on it. But this is the incumbents. The people that are running against them will not vote for it. They will not accept that money. And I want to give Dylan Moran a plug here because we didn't bring up his side. his qualifications, you have to go to Dylan Moran for Public Works. Read his resume. It's unbelievable. And the guy knows the Department of Public Works business, where I think Mr. Scirocco doesn't. And it's you can tell by the city. This podcast will be on SaratogaBroadcasting.com under the Talk Saratoga podcast page. So go, and if you want to listen to it, or if you want to send somebody that couldn't listen to it, send them there. And there will also be a part two that we will do in the internet station and put that up as a podcast too, because there's so much information that people should know about. And so we'll do that.